this other son said, I will go. I'll do what you say, Father. But then he didn't. And then comes the question, which of the two boys actually did the will of the Father? And they blurt out, the first. And Jesus' reply to them was, exactly right. You said you would go into the vineyard and labor in my Father's vineyard, but you didn't actually. You shut up the vineyard against everyone. It's just like in Luke, I believe it's chapter 11, verse 52, where Jesus said, you lawyers, those of you that know the Old Testament law, you won't enter into the kingdom yourself, and you have used the law to shut it against everyone else. You're twisting the scriptures, and you're not doing my Father's will. You're not really tending the vineyard. And then Jesus says, but the whores and the IRS guys, you know, everybody hates an IRS guy.
Amen.
You know, the publicans, the tax collectors. He says, they said they wouldn't obey me. They said they would sin and rebel, and they did. But afterward, they repented and went into the vineyard. He said, therefore, the whores and the IRS boys, if you please, putting it in a modern setting, they will come into the kingdom before you leaders. And so understand then that the leaders, this is a tremendous contrast. I want you to see it, that the contrast is between Jesus and the leaders who themselves saw themselves as the sons of God, the sons of the kingdom. And they believed that they were sons of the kingdom, that the kingdom was their rightful inheritance because they had been born Jews and had been circumcised on the eighth day. They believed the kingdom was theirs by inheritance from the first physical birth. And when John the Baptist came, as we learned last week, and preached repentance, the scriptures tell us in chapter 7 that of Luke that the sinners, the overt rebels, repented. But that the leaders refused to acknowledge that they were sinners and needed to repent, and that none of the religious leaders accepted the baptism of John. And so Jesus, by this simple parable, shows them, and you and me here tonight, that a profession of obedience does not constitute true sonship. I will go into the vineyard, but they didn't. They professed, but a profession of obedience is not true sonship. Rather, sonship is tested and proven by obedience. You do not get saved by obedience, but obedience is the test that your profession is a true one. For Jesus himself said, in John chapter 14, verse 21, verse 23, and 1 John chapter 5, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then he went on to say, and the commandments really aren't grievous. Not that you keep them to be saved, but rather that if you are saved, it will produce a transformed life in you. That you'll want to. It's abnormal for a Christian not to want to obey God. Because through the new birth, you get a new nature. And this nature enjoys the things of God. If you're in here tonight and you don't enjoy the things of God, if the commandments of God look like a drag to you, you probably don't have a new nature. Again, he showed them by that simple parable that true sonship is not based on a profession of obedience, but that actually sonship is tested and proven by obedience. Now, this doesn't mean you'll never sin. But we're talking about a lifestyle. A lifestyle of not obeying God tells us you're not a true son. And so, if we love Him, we will obey Him. We'll want to. It doesn't mean we'll always be perfect, but we'll want to. Nothing is worse than to, with all your heart, not want to obey God and to have to try. Because someone puts pressure on you. And so in these three parables, Jesus contrasts the religious leaders and himself. Because Jesus shows in these three parables that he is the Son of the kingdom. That he is the Son of God. As he does obey the Father. even unto death. These stories, these parables, this that we're reading tonight, take place in Jesus' life within the last 5 days of his life. Then we came to the parable of the vineyard owner after that. And here, as we studied last week, Jesus gave three quick things. Number one, he gave a history of the nation of Israel and showed and demonstrated God's patience and grace in dealing with them. As he said, that the king sent, he sent servants. Or rather, the vineyard owner. He sent servants into the vineyard to obtain fruit in its season from the vineyard keepers. And said they beat some of them. And he was patient toward them, so he sent more. And then he was they killed some of them, and he still did not bring reprisals. He was patient and gentle, exhibiting grace toward them. And this time he says, I'll send my own son. And so as we hear these parables, we're learning what God is like. Were I that vineyard owner, you'd be in real trouble. If you had been one of the leaders, there would have only been sent one group of servants. And if you told them no, you told them no, and I own that place, you're dead. You're out on your ear. And if you harmed one of them, you're going to be flogged. And if you killed one of them, you're going to be put to death. So we're learning about the patience of God, but the problem is that the people misunderstood his patience and his grace. And people still do today. When God deals with us and when we sin in patience and in grace, we decide there is no judgment or there is no God. I'm not going to have to face God. If I were going to have to face God when I sinned last week, he would have done something. And so then after showing them the history of the nation and God's patience and grace toward them in all their sin, the second thing in that parable that Jesus showed them and taught them was that he was sent by the Father to come into the vineyard and to die. Because he prophesied in that parable that he would be taken out of the vineyard and slain. That the heir, the son, would be slain. And then thirdly, in that parable, he let them judge their own, make a judgment as to their own punishment. He said, now, what do they have coming? What would these wicked vineyard tenants have coming after they've done this? What would the king do to them? And before they could realize that it was them they were talking about, they said, the king will come and miserably destroy them. And then later, when they realized they had just pronounced judgment on themselves, they said, God forbid. God forbid. Now, this is important, because the last thing we learned there was that the son would die. And that the people that put him to death would also be destroyed. And Jesus got that over by saying, those that fall on this stone, like the cornerstone that's being rejected himself, he says, those that fall on this stone, speaking of them falling on him to kill him, he said, it's going to be pretty tough on them. That they're going to be broken. But eventually, the stone will fall on them and grind them to powder. Now, tonight's story picks up and adds a very important part to that. You see, in the parable of the vineyard owner, the son, the heir, died. And the wicked were punished. But the burning question that should have been bugging you guys all week is, but what happened to the son? He died. Jesus has come in presenting himself as the Messiah, and he tells them he's come and he's going to die. That the people are, he's already told them, you're not going to accept me. I am presenting myself officially now as king. No longer am I going to tell everybody not to tell anybody. It is time to repent. The kingdom is right here at hand. The king is here. The children have told you the truth. The king is here. I am the son of David. And then he tells them, but you're going to kill me.